With so much money for startups sloshing around Silicon Valley, where's the investment in climate tech? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. In our climate tech series, How We Survive, we're in the heart of the tech industry this week, Silicon Valley, which is also the home of the huge venture capital funds that back a lot of the innovation here. And those are concentrated in a quiet office park on one little street called Sand Hill Road. So what are they doing to invest in climate tech?
It's not an area that we have spent a lot of time in.
Scott Cooper is a managing partner at Andreessen Horowitz. It is a big name firm. It helped kickstart Skype, Twitter, Facebook, and Airbnb. And Cooper says the VC community is a little shy about climate tech. Lots of them invested heavily in solar and other renewable energy 10 or 15 years ago and lost a lot of money when a bunch of those companies went under.
I think a lot of the old models, unfortunately, assumed or depended upon government subsidies to make the businesses work. And given how, you know, fickle those are with political climates, there was a lot of kind of heartache when some of those things went away.
And then fast forward to today, even if you want to put money into clean tech, the scientific innovations you might need for a cool new climate tech solution might not even exist. Paul Kodrowski is with SK Ventures.
It's kind of heartbreaking as an investor because, you know, it's an area where we'd all like to be much more active, but it's not obvious what a large check would do that would generate a return within the time horizon of a venture fund, which is, you know, less than 10 years.
Basically, it's a lot easier to fund products that are purely digital, like apps or social networks, than it is to get into super tricky real-world tech, like batteries or storage or, heaven forbid, infrastructure.
The physical world, atoms are a pain in the ass. Having to actually work with the physical world slows everything down dramatically.
These days, Sand Hill Road does have some venture capital funds that are investing in sustainability.
We look for mission-oriented entrepreneurs that are going after really big problems in big markets.
Brooke Porter is with G2VP, a clean tech venture fund that is a spinoff from the legendary VC firm Kleiner Perkins. Kleiner decided not to keep green investment in the core fund after all those failures a decade or so ago. And Porter says G2VP has a broad definition of sustainability.
So we're not just investing in clean, renewable energy. We're investing in 3D printing and new ways of approaching manufacturing and logistics and collapsing supply chains and food to bring producers and consumers closer together.
G2VP invests in everything from electric buses to buying and selling used cars. So long plays toward a greener world, but nothing that's obviously going to save us. And then there are a handful of investors who want to make much bigger, faster moves.
I think the opportunity is incredibly massive.
This is Seth Bannon, founding partner at the small venture capital firm 50 Years, based in San Francisco.
We want people to realize that the technologies to mitigate and adapt to the climate crisis can create trillions of dollars worth of wealth.
50 Years is investing about $50 million compared to about $350 million at G2VP. Now, the biggest name in the game is Breakthrough Energy Ventures. It was launched by Bill Gates and other investors in 2016 to invest over $1 billion specifically in clean energy. But Bannon says the entire tech industry needs to step up.
It's super frustrating to me when I see people that control hundreds of millions of dollars and determine what companies get funded and what companies don't, tweeting about the next e-gaming unicorn that they're chasing, when you have millions of people who are being forced to migrate, all because of a crisis that technology can solve.
So when it comes to funding tech to help us adapt to climate change, the venture capital industry that gave us the semiconductor and personal computers and smartphones and social media is still mostly in the shallow end of the pool. But there is one place in Silicon Valley where the tech moonshot is still alive. Tomorrow, we'll visit X, formerly known as Google X, the innovation factory that could, right now, be hatching the next big climate idea. And now for some related links and audio. First, if you haven't already, visit our website, marketplacetech.org, for all the stories we've been doing in the How We Survive series, those maps of the Silicon Valley campuses that might be underwater in a decade or so, and transcripts of these stories. And you'll also find a link there to more information about Breakthrough Energy Ventures. Unfortunately, they wouldn't talk to us for this series, but one thing that is interesting is that the fund describes itself as patient capital, the kind that doesn't have to rely on returns in the usual 10-year timeline of venture capital funds. The Breakthrough Energy Coalition, which is helping fund the venture fund, includes 27 of the world's richest people, lots of them from tech. Jeff Bezos, Meg Whitman of Hewlett-Packard, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan, Jack Ma of Alibaba. And the coalition is part of this consortium of 20 countries, including the U.S., apparently, that will invest in clean energy technologies as sort of a public-private partnership. Back in 2016, the countries all said they would double their clean energy investments to $20 billion in 5 years. And on the Breakthrough Energy Fund's website, it notes that it'll invest in technologies that have proven scientific feasibility and that have a chance to attract money from other funds or investors. And it notes that, quote, clean tech is a somewhat neglected space. And as for our central question in this series, what is tech doing to help us adapt to climate change? Our reporting has still pretty much only turned up Jay Coe over at the Lightsmith Group, focused specifically on adaptation and resilience. Although lots of people tell us that their tech to help mitigate or slow down climate change will also help people adapt. And speaking of cost, a little related audio from Seth Bannon over at 50 Years. Because one fear is that even if big tech does start creating solutions to climate change, they'll be, you know, premium. Only rich people or rich countries can afford them. And Bannon says he's got a metric for making sure that doesn't happen.
When we think about what makes a viable, sustainable business, we don't ever want to back a solution that requires people to pay a premium because it's a green solution or because it's sustainable. And so we really want to see a path to all of these products winning just because they are the highest quality product at the lowest possible cost, so that they pass what we call the Mr. Burns test. So Mr. Burns is a character from The Simpsons, and Mr. Burns is a sort of archetype of an incredibly self-obsessed, greedy capitalist. We want to see a path where the product would be what Mr. Burns chose just because it was best for him. And then, oh, by the way, it's also sustainable, because we think this is the only way markets will actually make a difference in solving the climate crisis.
Excellent. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Excellent.
You count on Marketplace Tech to help you understand the intersection between technology and the economy and all the ways it affects our lives. As a nonprofit news organization, we count on listeners like you to support this kind of journalism. Think of it as an investment in your lifelong education. Any donation helps, and if you give today, you'll help unlock a $50,000 challenge from the Candida Fund. Become a Marketplace investor at marketplace.org, and thanks.